Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to have some fun. We are going to be talking about a little bit of history, but more than anything else, we are going to be walking down a memory lane that some of you might relate to and some of you won't. But regardless, it's going to be insightful, informative, and again, really makes us aware of how we got to where we are today as a culture, as a society, with technology on so many levels. My guest today is Marta Hyatt. Her wonderful book is called Remembrances of Times Past. Marta, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
I so enjoyed your book. In fact, I was sharing it with someone today, giving all kinds of information about the details that you had in this book, and you are a woman that has quite an interesting background. What is it for you that made you decide you were going to do some research on the so-called good old days?
Well, my background actually is quite different from the book because I was a psychotherapist with a private practice for about 25 years. But I've always wanted to be a writer, and I have published another book. And so when I retired, that was my opportunity. And one day my sister and I, who were both born in the 30s, we were doing the dishes together, and we started talking about when we were kids, and there wasn't any detergent back then. So we used to have to take a bar of brown soap and put it in a wire grate that had a little handle on it, and swish it around in the water for about 10 minutes in order to make enough suds to get detergent. So we went on from there to talk about doing the washing with Mom and how we had to drag it through the wringer and all these stories about the past. And I just got the idea that it might be fun to put together an entire book about how life was back in the early part of the 20th century.
And it wasn't that long ago. And that's what I loved about what you did. You also interviewed people from different periods of time relating to their experiences. And I want to share this poem that you have in the book. I just loved it. Good old days. Some folks talk of the good old days when Grandma was a lass. They tell us things were better then, and they're sad to see them pass. Well, I made jelly, canned the corn, spent hours at the churn, fed the hired hands, baked the pies, and at weeding took my turn. I carried out the chamber pots, plucked feathers for my bed, scrubbed all the clothes upon a board, stoked fires, and made the bread. I fed the ducks and the chickens, pickled berries in the bog. My only entertainment was Sears Roebuck's catalog. I made the scrapple kraut and soap and all the children's togs. Then if I had some time to spare, I helped at butchering hogs. I raised a pack of drooling kids with Dr. Farmhand wife. There was no respite from the chores. It was a grueling life. The children walked 3 miles through snow before they reached the school. I often went to bring them home upon our old gray mule. I baked and scoured from morning till night, and to make my day complete, I hopped into an icy bed with hot bricks at my feet. I milked our old cow twice a day and often chopped some wood. If these were the good old days, I'm glad they're gone for good.
And that really sums it up, doesn't it? How harsh it was back in what we call the good old days.
Oh, I know. And there are people that will say, well, this is the way it should be. And I'm telling you, thank you very much. I like my washing machine. I like my microwave. I like my stove and all the other good things. I mean, to get to where we are today, there were a lot of people that really got a lot of things done. And your book is broken down, you know, into various areas about entertainment, household things,
science and technology.
Yeah, technology, health, the status of women. So we're going to touch on a little bit, but I totally agree with your statement that people who lived in the 20th century witnessed more change in their daily lives than anyone who had previously lived in history as we have it recorded at this time. And I think that is so very, very true. And I was also sharing this with my husband, and you had some stories in here, people that you had interviewed and things that they had gone through, and the one about the bathtub in the kitchen where there was no hot and cold running water in the house and Mom had to boil the hot water for the bath, which was done just once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, this gentleman you had interviewed, had like six other siblings, and by the time he got into the tub, if you were sibling number seven that was going in there, it was pretty cold, also pretty dirty, but...
Yeah, you didn't want to be the last one in.
I mean, just all kinds of stuff. How did you choose your people to...
Well, I found people everywhere, and of course I started with my family.
Uh-huh.
Once I got the idea about writing the book, and so I solicited them, especially my aunts and uncles, who were of an older generation, and they had lots of tales to tell. It seems that people like to reminisce about the way life used to be, especially the older people.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I just, I even talked to strangers. One time I was on a plane and sitting beside an elderly woman. So at lunchtime, I started telling her what I was doing, and she told me a story about how her her school teacher used to ride a horse to school,
mm-hmm.
and had to get there, you know, before the whole class and fire up the wood-burning stove and clean the blackboard and all sorts of things. So, and also there's a magazine called Reminisce that publishes stories that people submit. And the ones that I liked, I wrote to them and asked them if I could use their stories and also sent me pictures. So they were happy to do that.
It is so great. And you have wonderful photographs throughout your entire book that shows the style of dress and the various things that went on. One of the things that you bring out, you have a picture of Grandma D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman at that time was... not expected to be literate.
No.
And she was to do the housework. She really was basically supposed to be a maid. If a man was looking for a mm-hmm. wife, you could read the personal columns. Every once in a while you'll see something about the good old days and how men would find wives. And what they wanted to make sure is that you were strong enough where, if necessary, you could work with the plow, but also you took care of the house, cooked the meals, and people's lives were exceedingly difficult,
mm-hmm.
very, very difficult.
And I think especially for the women, which I point out in that chapter about we've come a long way, baby,
mm-hmm.
and a prospective mother-in-law, the first question she would ask is she a good cook?
Mm-hmm.
That's what really counted, that and you know, taking care of children.
Now, one of the components that you talk about that occurred in the 20th century was the change with shopping. And there were a number of years where stores, and we would not, I mean, the young generation today wouldn't even be able to fathom it, but the times when the stores were closed on Sundays.
Oh, right.
And
yes.
You could not do any shopping. Women had to make sure that they planned enough ahead. If they were lucky, depending on if they were fortunate enough to be married and they had someone that was bringing home a regular check, you had to be able to get all your grocery shopping done. There were not refrigerators at that time, so mm-hmm. you really had to work with canning and that type of thing. And I remember my grandmother talking about that
uh-huh.
in Virginia.
And we had, later on, we had the old ice boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my job and my sister's as kids to carry out that pan at the bottom filled with water, gently carry it out to the backyard and dump it. That was quite a chore.
Absolutely.
But you're so right. If nobody could drop in on you on a Sunday if you hadn't already in advance got in some extra food,
mm-hmm.
because you couldn't run down to the local store and pick something up.
Right. And then also, I can remember for the women, especially those that were near farming communities, whenever crops came in, they would have to work almost like a 24-hour shift to be able to pickle to can, to do whatever was necessary with whatever food came in, because they didn't have the capability of preserving food unless they used salt, like people over in Europe use, you know, for sauerkraut. Or, you know, the, what is it, gevalkefisch, or lutefisk.
Oh, yeah.
In lye to keep the fish so that they'd have something to eat during the winter. And here we are today, where we don't think twice about going to the store and picking up red or green peppers or fresh lettuce and produce, and it wasn't available during the winter months.
Yeah, that's right. I remember as a kid we had to have canned vegetables during the winter because there wasn't anything fresh at the store.
Right.
So we had those beans and peas all the time.
Right, and those were things that was a style of life. So it hasn't been that long. It really hasn't been that long.
No. No, that was back, I guess, in about the 40s when I recall that.
Right, and I think that refrigeration started then. It was World War II, really, and that's your book, when you're talking about remembrances of times past. You go through these different periods in history, which I think was just absolutely amazing. You also bring up the fact, which I really like, it was FDR who signed the agreement for the Social Security system as we have it in place today. However, at that time, and I think the age was 65 to get your Social Security, but most people died long before 65.
They didn't anticipate what was coming with the longevity we have now, you know, and what it was going to, Social Security was going to cost, with people living into their 80s and 90s, and we even have more people living into their 100s now.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. There are so many people that are living to be over 100. I heard a gentleman being interviewed just 2 days ago on a local show, and he was 107 years old, and he was very, very clear and articulate, and he participated in the First World War. Now, we don't have a whole bunch of those people still alive, but he is alive. His strength and his stamina is pretty good for 107, and he's married to a youngster of 80.
Yeah, and that's a remarkable thing, that a lot of these 100-year-old people are not demented. They're still maintaining their faculties, so that's really great.
Yes. Now, you bring out a point that I think is so significant, and that is from the time period of about 1945, it was the end of the Second World War, and up until the 70s, we just had a tremendous cycle of abundance in the United States. Absolutely amazing. And you said not only did we have an abundance of consumer goods that were made available to us, we also had a greater level of personal freedom than any other country in the world. And now, within that time frame, there was all of this phenomenal advancement with technology. Just incredible, incredible advancement with technology. Let's start off with the 1900s. Let's just go into the beginning there, and you've done such a wonderful job on being able to break things down. Of course, you can't get to every detail. You'd have a book that would reach from here to the moon. But you said something right in the beginning of your chapter on technology, that in the 1950s, a lot of scientists decided that everything that ever needed to be done that could be discovered already had been, which is the height of arrogance.
Yeah, and quite amazing statement.
It really is.
And that person lived to regret that statement.
Big time, big time. But this was a time frame in the 20th century, like you said, dramatic changes, the growth of science, the accelerating technology, and we had so many discoveries and inventions like splitting the atom, medical imaging, nuclear reactors, and energy being used to power homes and businesses. We have the transistor that came on, the silicon chip, There's plastics, organ transplants, artificial legs, knees, antibiotics, vaccines, radio, television, lasers. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're even in the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm. And all of that in the latter half of the century.
Mm-hmm.
And one other big thing there was the discovery of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That made quite a difference in the health field and even in the field of criminology with fingerprinting and so forth and getting people's DNA.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you remember, I don't know how far back you go, but in the 40s and particularly early 50s was the polio plague.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the vaccines got developed that, you know, that was the scourge of the 50s where all the mothers were terrified that their children were going to get polio and be incapacitated or even die.
Right. And that's something that, digressing for just a bit away from the technology, sanitation, clean water, created the biggest change.
Yes.
Most of the time, water, for most people, wasn't that healthy. In fact, cholera, dysentery, so many various diseases were transferred through water and through poor sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
And TB was one of the raging diseases.
Oh, yes.
Polio was terrible. TB was highly contagious. We had typhoid.
Uh-huh.
Story about typhoid Mary.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had the influenza. We have all of these various things that occurred that were so devastating. It killed millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And TB, they thought they had that under control. And all of a sudden, now it's not all of a sudden. It's really been over the last 15 years. They have found a virulent form of TB that's immune
mm-hmm.
to the vaccines and other things that were developed to put it at bay.
Right.
So we have a very interesting era, but still the sanitation, the water, having that clean has saved so many more lives.
Yes. And, of course, the discovery of antibiotics has saved millions of lives, too. But it seems that's coming back to bite us with this staph infection that's coming
mm-hmm.
around now
mm-hmm.
because of overuse of antibiotics. But I remember what a miracle that was for people when we first discovered the penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was in 52, something like that. And then we just misused it. So I don't know what's going to happen now, but I think I ended that chapter on health about the what's coming next in that field is epidemics
mm-hmm.
of infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
again,
with...
Using back to sanitation, you talk about, and I'm trying to remember if it was diphtheria or typhoid, but there is a story that you have in your book, and I don't have it right at my fingertips, so I'm just going by memory here, where a woman told you that when she was in school, a physician came in and examined the children and used the same stick to
right.
open their mouths with. And because he did that, he went from child to child to child. It was diphtheria.
Yeah.
And every child that he used that stick with ended up with diphtheria.
Right. I remember that story. You know, it wasn't that horrifying how little we knew back then how diseases were spread like this. And that was a medical person.
That's right. And at the time, in fact, at the beginning of the 20th century, people really didn't trust doctors at all. When was the time that physicians were expected to really be educated? Because the medical practitioner, the attitude was that you don't want to go to a hospital because if you go to a hospital, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the doctors just were not qualified and were not trained. When did it really start to come together?
I think that probably was towards the end of the 30s and the beginning of the 40s when they started making more demands on doctors to be more professional and to get more education. And you might recall how in the 40s the doctors would actually come to the house
mm-hmm.
with their little black bags and you had a doctor for often your entire lifetime, unless he died first, and it was always a man in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he would treat the whole family and know the entire family history. And, of course, now we have all these different specialists and often don't know what the other one is doing, you know, so that it's not coordinated and integrated. And there's also a staggering number of people who die from being just from being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder if we're not going a little bit backwards on some of these things.
Well, yeah. And I think that what's coming full circle is the fact that we have to get back to the understanding that it is important to keep things clean. It is important to, when you have people that are ill, to put them away, if they're contagious, to put them away from other people. A lot of the basics, I think, have been forgotten. We've gotten very comfortable. We forget that there is a lot in this world that can be transmitted. You have a section on women
mm-hmm.
that I think is just fabulous. And you go through how, instead of being considered non-existent, second-class citizens, you have really brought out some information. And I was surprised there was one state that finally, and I'm trying to find it here as I'm looking through, that finally allowed women to purchase property. In fact, before 1967, a married woman in America could not purchase a home in her own name, and a single woman would usually be denied financing for a home loan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 1976 before the Air Force Academy admitted women in for training. It was all male before
with
that.
Much protest.
Yes, and there is so much that has changed, but it's only been in the last 50 years in the United States where women have been able to gain positioning. And when I hear of other cultures throughout the world and people will say, oh, well, you know, they're so far behind, I go, wait a minute, ladies, wake up. This has only been here for 50 years, and we have people that want to take it away even
yes.
today.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and we didn't get the vote until 1920.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
And that took a lot, too.
It took a great deal.
Uh-huh.
So you go through so very much wonderful information here that I think is just absolutely terrific. You go into the fact of the facts about, again, the technology. We start off with so many things, but look at how we're talking about being able to take a vacation to the moon or to outer space. Private companies are working on this. And there was a time in the, you know, in the 20th century where people thought if a train went over 100 miles an hour, they were going to die. The people inside of it were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is incredible. That's why every time we have a chance to stretch our minds and our imaginations, we have to realize we are standing on the shoulders of the people that have gone before us, the people that said, no, let's do things differently.
Yes, we certainly have. And, you know, when you're speaking about the changes for women, I got a divorce back in the 60s. And when I got the divorce, I went to apply for credit in my own name, and they refused to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything was in my ex-husband's name. And even though I was the one who paid all the bills and balanced the checkbook because he wasn't capable of doing it, I got no credit for that. And I forget when it was, the early 70s, I believe, after the feminist movement started, that women were allowed to get credit in their own name, divorced women or single women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's amazing. Just imagine walking into Macy's and them saying you can't have a credit card because you're single or
mm-hmm.
you're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
People today wouldn't believe this.
Yeah, you could be making thousands of dollars a year, and that was just, I'm sorry, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, because you're female.
It's interesting how certain attitudes prevailed, because I know that my husband and I had a personal experience in the 70s when we were trying to get a loan, and he was working on a project, did not have a regular job, and I had a very good income, and the bank officer said, what's the matter with you? Turning to my husband, why aren't you working? And he explained to him what was going on. He said, well, I'm sorry, but this is unacceptable. It wasn't good enough that I was making a good income.
No, you didn't count.
Down.
You didn't count just because of being female.
That's right. So that was in the 70s. That was in the 80s. That was in
the 80s. Oh.
In the early 80s. And I was just stunned. I was absolutely stunned because in my mind is, haven't you gotten out of the dark ages for heaven's sake? Who cares where the money comes from?
Apparently
money
that man had
handles it. That was the early 80s. I said 70s, but it was the early 80s. And it's just amazing and how little time it has taken. But that's because people have been more able to, they've been better able to communicate, and especially with the advent of the web. But you look at the improvements with phone service, you look at all kinds of things that have evolved. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And your book, Remembrances of Time Past, it's just a great book, and it's something I think somebody should have around just so they could share it with their kids or their grandkids and say, hey, it's just not me. Look at these are the stories of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
This is what went on. So you've given a great gift by doing all this research.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad you really liked it.
Oh, there's so much fun in here, and also there's strong reality about why things were fought against, who fought against them, and you just have done a wonderful, wonderful job with this. Remembrances of Times Past. Marta Hyatt is my guest. Marta, where can someone go to get more information about your publications? What's your website?
It's www, of course. Northern Star Press, that's all one word, .com, that's the publisher.
NorthernStarPress.com.
Right. And, by the way, my name is Hyatt, which is with an I, H-I-A-T-T, not Y like the hotels.
Right, and your first name is spelled M-A-R-T-A,
right.
Marta Hyatt.
And my book is on Amazon and in the bookstores.
Yes, and Betty White, who is just a doll. She's one of the actresses who played on The Golden Girls. She said, one cannot dip into this book without staying a while. You'll be surprised at what you recall. So if you have someone in your family, you're looking for a Christmas gift, something like this, this would be a wonderful, wonderful gift to give them and a wonderful thing to share with a kid so that they could take it maybe into school and say, hey, do you know what these people did back in 1944?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's fascinating. It's interesting. And what a conversation piece. Marta Hyatt, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Well, I thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad you liked the book so much. That's great.
It's fun. It is a lot of fun and educational as well. Marta Hyatt has been my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. And when we come back, more good things to share. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, those phone lines are open. If you want to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I want to share something with you quickly. And for those of you who are in the state of Washington, I've been invited to participate in a Dickens event. This is a very special community event, and I'm going to be appearing at the Tacoma Little Theater on December the 8th from 12 noon until 5 o'clock. So as I get more details, this was all confirmed by phone last night, so as I get more details, I will be able to share that with you. But I'm going to be interacting with a lot of people, and of course, we're coming into the holiday season, and it's so much fun to be able to participate in these various activities. Hey, I promised you yesterday an utterly, utterly awesome cookie recipe. And I say it's awesome because, one, I love chocolate. And this is a chocolate cookie that is just fabulous. If you like cherries, this is something that is a magical combination. So these are called buried cherry cookies. The person that had this cookie recipe is anonymous, so I have no idea who put this together. Whoever you are just absolutely magnificently wonderful, because this is a great recipe. So if you have that pad of paper handy and a pen, let me give you the ingredients, because I wasn't able to do it. We ran out of time yesterday. Let me give you the ingredients first, and then I'll give you the directions. You're going to need... Uh-oh, hello, do we have a caller?
Yeah, I can... Go ahead, I can hang on.
Okay, terrific. Let me get this out. We're going to get to that caller. You're going to need a 10-ounce jar of maraschino cherries. And if you're like me and you have a stock of them, what you need to do is have 42 to 48 cherries. And if they're big, just remember, that's how many you're going to need. You're going to need a half a cup of butter, at room temperature. You're going to need one cup of sugar, a quarter of a teaspoon of baking powder, and a quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda. That's a quarter of a teaspoon of baking powder and one of baking soda. You're going to need one egg. Again, that should be at room temperature, one egg. 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. 1/2 cup of unsweetened cocoa powder. Use the best cocoa powder you possibly can get. 1/2 cup of unsweetened cocoa powder. You're going to need 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour. 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour. 1 6-ounce package, the equivalent of a cup of semi-sweet chocolate pieces. 1 cup of semi-sweet chocolate pieces. And 1/2 cup of sweetened condensed milk, or low-fat sweetened condensed milk. And this is what you're going to do. These are the directions. You need to drain the cherries and reserve the juice. The recipe calls for halving the cherries. Cut them in half. I just say keep them whole. That's me, because I've made these, and these are just great. I just made them this last weekend. Now, in a medium mixing bowl, you want to beat the butter with an electric mixer in medium to high speed for 30 seconds. To the butters, you want to add your sugar, your baking powder, your baking soda, and your salt. And then you will just beat it until it's all mixed up. And if you need to scrape the sides of the bowl, do it. Then you beat in the egg and the vanilla until they're combined. Now you beat in your cocoa powder and as much of the flour as you can with your mixer. Now I have a very good mixer, so I was able to put all of it in. But sometimes, depending on the stamina of your mixer, you may not be able to. So if you're not able to, with your mixer, to mix all of it together, then whatever remaining flour you have, use a wooden spoon or use your hands and get it so it's all mixed in. Now, you shape your dough into one-inch balls. You place the balls about 2 inches apart on an ungreased cookie sheet. And then you put your thumb, I use my knuckle, take your knuckle and just put it right down into the center of each cookie ball. And place a cherry in the center of each one. Now, right there, your cookies are all ready to go into the oven. The next step you're going to need to do, you're going to need to make your frosting. Yes, Before you bake your cookies, you have to make your frosting. In a small saucepan, you put your chocolate pieces and sweetened condensed milk, and over very low heat, you stir them until the chocolate is all melted. Then you add 4 teaspoons of reserved cherry juice. And what you do with your cookies before you put them in the oven, you take this frosting and you put it over the cherry and the cookie, and you spread it to cover it. And if you need to thin the frosting, go ahead and thin it. You thin it with some of the cherry juice if you have any extra. Once you've covered all of the cookies, then what you do is put it in a 350-degree oven for 10 minutes. That's all you bake it for, just for 10 minutes, or until the edges are firm. And they'll sort of crackle a little bit. And then you cool them on the cookie sheet for about a minute, and then you transfer them to a wire rack and let them cool. And the person who put this recipe together said, do not use imitation chocolate. Use the real thing. It is absolutely wonderful. And you will get raves from everyone. And I'm going to put this cookie recipe in my next newsletter because this is so outstanding. I want to be sure that everybody has it. So if you've missed it, just know you can get it in my newsletter. Let's go to my very patient caller who's been listening to me give all this stuff out about these wonderful chocolate cookies. Thank you for your patience. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi, Donna. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, great. Well, I know it's not raining where you are.
No, not at all.
And give me your name one more time.
My first name's Jim.
Okay, Jim. All right, Jim, what I'm looking at with you is the word patience, and then I'm also getting the word organization. Patience, organization, follow through, and I'm seeing you smiling, going to the bank. So there is something that is related to money that is of concern to you, and you are wanting to be sure that you don't miss any of the significant steps to achieving the level of financial independence that you want. I'd say just do what you know you need to do. You're on track. You're not off track at all. So just be patient and follow through and do what you have to do, and you're going to be just fine. Also, there's something that I'm picking up around the lower part of the base of the head, and the neck area there is most curious. I'm getting this odd sensation that is coming from, oh, I'd say about 1.5, 2 inches down from the base of the head. That space and the area of vertebra there, there is this odd sensation going into the back of my eyes, and I can't quite understand why this is going on unless there is a stress factor here, because I'm also getting a sensation of discomfort that goes up to under the top of my head. And as I'm experiencing this, I'm going, what's wrong? There's something here that is out of sync. And I think if you had someone that was a good masseuse and they could very gently work the muscles right at the very, very top edge of the shoulder adjacent to the neck, up through the neck area itself and even the head, massaging muscles in the head, I think this pressure would go away. So I don't know if it's because of a level of work that you're doing, a type of work that you're doing, but as I'm watching this, I want to say, unwind somehow. You've got to find out what you could do to release this discomfort that is in the head, because it could be so fatiguing. And I don't know if it's from working on a computer, you know, maybe you're doing some kind of work where your head's at an odd angle, or if maybe you're working in a shop or doing something else where the body is stressed, or that area of the body is stressed. Could also be something with an old injury. But I'm not necessarily seeing a real old injury here. Just very, very odd. But a good masseuse would be able to work that out in, I think, less than 15 minutes if they have an understanding of how to work with the nerves and the circulation and the muscles. And it would just make you feel so much better. You carry a lot of stress in your body.
Yes, yes. I am looking for a massage therapist, actually. But I'm unemployed, I'm divorced and singled. I'm just wondering to see any changes for me next year. I'm thinking of going down to Costa Rica for mainly a vacation, but also maybe look for further future changes. Do you see anything happening there with me?
Well, I would say relative to where you are in your life, you have an opportune positioning to be able to investigate and to be able to explore. I think you're going to find yourself getting interested in an area of business that will require a level of training in a software technology that will enable you to be mobile with your business. Whatever this is, I don't know. But I do know that technology will be very significant to it. And it's a technology that fits into a notebook that's like half the size of an average briefcase. I mean, it's just very compact. And I'm seeing you going through a process of training and also working with someone that will have some of the expertise that you need to be associated with to understand that this is something you really want to be involved with. So I think you've got some major changes. I don't know that Costa Rica is going to make it for you. I think it is going to be a spot that if you go there, it will give you an opportunity to explore, but be very cautious if someone like tries to talk you into real estate investment on any level. Be very, very cautious because you might find yourself in hot water. And I don't know why. Just be very wise.
Be careful of real estate, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Be careful of someone that may try to talk you into it.
Okay.
You could end up being their scapegoat for their unethical behavior.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Anything on relationships? Very quickly.
Take it easy. I think it's too soon. I think you just need to relax and get to know yourself a little bit, and I think you're going to eventually have a very nice companion in your life.
Okay, then.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you for your time, Donna. Have a good night. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Siebel, and we are going to be taking a break in a moment, and I want to remind you, tomorrow we are going to be talking food. Why? Well, one of the biggest holidays for cooking is coming up. That's Thanksgiving. So you're not going to want to miss my wonderful guest, Leo Perlstein. He is a fabulous guy. He's been on my show a number of times, and he is just a joy. And food is his business. So you're not going to want to miss it. And hey, if you want to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227 or Canadian, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back. After this, don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. I've come across some information that I think you might be interested in knowing about. It's about fish.
Mm-hmm.
Why fish? Well, many times people find discoveries about how to improve our lives from some of the most interesting sources, and they're often right out there in nature. Now, some aerospace companies were having particular problems regarding planes. What was the problem? Well, how do you keep the wings of planes from icing up? Well, if any of you have traveled during winter months, or if you've traveled up to Alaska like I have for so many years, ice on plane wings, something you don't want. It is very, very dangerous. We've had some crashes throughout history that have been caused because of the weight of ice and the problems that it produces. Well, the aerospace companies checked with an institute. It's the Fraunhofer Institute for Manufacturing Technology and Applied Materials Research. They said, we want to know how to keep our wings from icing up. Well, what they found were antifreeze proteins. I've never heard of them. Have you? Well, apparently, there are Arctic fish that have coatings of this type on their buds. Mm-hmm. Fish can suppress the growth of ice crystals because of what's on their skin. So, if this was taken, painted on wings, the coating could help de-ice and reduce drag on the plane. Now, light, not ice, is the main concern for the scientists at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. They found a combination of carbon nanotubes and buckyballs. Now, those are spherical carbon molecules as a basis for paintable solar cells. And the paint isn't as energy efficient as silicon cells, but the application is far simpler. Also, they have found paint that allows light to pass through it. Now, there are two men, Allard Mosk and Ivor Velikoop at the University of Twente, that recently challenged conventional physics when they focused light through an opaque medium. What did they discover? They discovered that the scattering of light could be compensated for before light ever reached an object. And this is what Velikoop says about it. He said, directional light shining through a layer of paint was previously unheard of. It could be used to perform efficient spectroscopy of paint or powders, or even to study the process of paint drying. Wow. I guess earlier we were talking about the innovations that were made in the 20th century, very short period of time, and look at what is evolving. Today, they are discovering ways of taking cells from a person's body and building an organ if they needed one. If someone had liver cancer, taking a single healthy cell from that person and being able to build a new liver. So many things are being done. Skin being grown so that if a person has burns, they can have their own cellular structure, their own T cells working for them for their own wellness. It is incredible, incredible stuff. Now, let's take another shift. Let's look at solar power. Now, physicists have been trying to figure out a different approach to solar energy. Instead of working with the ordinary solar cells that we're all so familiar with, and they require a lot of photons to produce a single electron, they're now focusing on what they call quantum dots. And I have a picture of it in front of me. It's absolutely beautiful. A little tiny thing. But they only need, these quantum dots only need one photon to produce multiple electrons. And the process is called multiple exciton generation, abbreviated MEG. Now, so far it's worked only in toxic materials like lead. But there is a fellow, Arthur Nozick, at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory that's proven that MEG works in silicon. There we go, something new, another step forward. It's the material that constitutes most solar cells. The next step, you've got to prove that MEG can be scaled out of the lab to become commercially viable. We live in exciting times. We have so many people that have ideas and concepts about doing things differently. And if we think that we really moved forward in the 20th century, the 21st century is going to absolutely be amazing. Just think of what we're going to be able to tell our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids. And how many of us are going to be living to be well over 100. Just imagine what the stories we're going to be sharing that are going to be, to them, absolutely unbelievable. They're going to say, how'd you do that? How did you put up so many things? It's exciting. It's really amazing. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, we've got so many wonderful guests that are going to be coming up next week, and I know next week is Thanksgiving week, but we've still got a great lineup, and I wanted to let you know about who's coming on with me. Russell Targ is going to be on with me on Monday. This is a man that has worked with the CIA. He's been very much involved in remote viewing. He is a scientist that has been recognized by his peers for breakthrough, understanding, and demonstration of so many areas of the mind. And we're going to be talking about his book that he put out, The End of Suffering, which I think is quite profound. It's a bit of a different twist, but it's something that as a scientist he felt that he had to put together. So we're going to be talking with Russell on Monday. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Iris Bell, who just absolutely loves animals. We're going to be talking how you can chew on things. It helps you think. And you're just going to have to tune in and find out what it's all about. It's going to be so much fun. And then Dorothy Brenninger, who we had to reschedule, she's going to be joining us on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about a senior organizer. And if you have mature people in your family that have not taken time to really put things in order, so to speak, for the family, then this is something that's very, very good. And I was talking with a couple who's in their 70s, and they travel all over the country. They're both involved professionally in photography and in writing. And the wife has put everything on one of those little portable units where you can carry, and the terminology for it is just escaping me right at this moment. I'm just drawing a blank. But it's about an inch and a half long. You can stick it in your purse or your pocket, and she's got all of her information. She's taken the time to organize things and put it all there, so if anything happened to her, all they'd have to do is take that out of her purse and they'd have all the medical information and everything else that they would need. And, of course, next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we're going to be having a Best of Donna on that day because I, along with the rest of you, will be enjoying family and friends, the company of them both, as well as being able to have some scrumptious goodies. And then on the Friday after Thanksgiving, we're going to have John D. Rowe. We're going to be talking about animal nutrition. This is a man who has been very much involved trying to improve pet foods and has been involved with animals for most of his life. He has some wonderful, wonderful information to share. So we have a great lineup of people that I know you will enjoy. And don't forget, with the Donna Siebel Show, you're going to be able to listen to the shows whenever you want to. You can go into the archives, and whatever works for you, if you miss a program and you say, oh, I wish I could hear it, you can. Just go into our archives and you can download it. This is Donna Siebel. We've run out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And to remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking turkey. So have that pad of paper and pen handy because I know you're going to enjoy it. And enjoy this moment that you have. It's a special, special day for you. It's what you're working with. Make the best of it. It will just shine for you if you do. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.